Proverbs chapter 2, if you're willing and able to stand as we give reverence reading of God's Word tonight, I encourage you to do so, ask you to do so, and we're going to try to find out whatever kind of preaching gear we can get in this evening. May just slow down. I've got a lot of things I want to get to that the Lord has laid on our heart for the service tonight. I've been enjoying doing this study, and personally, in my life, it's helping me, and then being able to take those things the Lord is letting us study and deliver it to you has been a help to me as well. And I trust the Lord to help us again tonight. Proverbs chapter number 2, verse number 1. And then we're going to go to 2 Peter here in just a little while. Solomon writing says, "My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge, and liftest up thy voice for understanding. If thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord." This next phrase is what we've been trying to single in on and search out and study out. Solomon said, "And find the knowledge of God." And find the knowledge of God. This should not be the last time it encourages son in this subject. In Proverbs 9 and in verse number 10, he said, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding." And so there's a desire in the heart of Solomon that his son will take the commandments that he's been given, the truth of God's word that has been poured into his life, and that he would apply that in his life and live in that in his life. And he said, "Son, if you'll do that, you'll know who God is. You'll have knowledge of God. You'll have knowledge of the holy." Let me read one verse out of 2 Peter chapter 3. In fact, it's the closing verse in Peter's writing. And we'll get to this. And it'll take me just a little bit. But hang with me tonight, where Peter said, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen." And so Peter, we'll see tonight, he's interested in us growing in that knowledge of God. Growing in our knowledge of God. And so we'll get to that here in just a minute. And we'll deal with the growth of knowing God, okay? Thank you for standing. You can be seated. Heavenly Father, tonight we come before you not in any merit of ourselves this evening. Lord, we dare not, Lord, trust in the arm of our flesh tonight, Lord, to gain an audience with God. We're mindful tonight we need your help. We're mindful tonight that, Lord, in this place are saints of God who need instruction and need truth to build their life on and around. And I pray this evening, Lord, that you would set the table before us. And Lord, that you would dress it and you would prepare, Lord, what we need to feast upon for our spirit man, spiritual man, to find, Lord, what we need to grow tonight. I ask you, Lord, this evening that through the messages we're challenged about knowing God and the knowledge of God being put into our life, that, Lord, you would do a great and a mighty work in our hearts in these days. And Lord, if there's somebody among us tonight that does not know anything about the knowledge of God, Lord, they're yet lost in their sin. Would you please deal with them and show them their need of the Lord Jesus and do for them what only Jesus can do. And Lord, I pray when they leave here tonight, they'd be able to leave saying, "I know who God is." Lord, we'll bless you for all that you do. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it. Amen and amen. This will be our third message in this series, and just to kind of bring us back up to where we are tonight, we understand again that Solomon is challenging his son, and his son would live a certain kind of way that he might find the knowledge of God, and he would not stumble over the commandments of the Lord, that he would not reject truth out of his life, but that he would receive it, embrace it,
apply it and live it out so that he might have the knowledge of God. Solomon is going to do this. You remember we said in our introductory message that is particularly concerned about an evil man and a strange woman later on in Proverbs chapter number 2. And it will be the knowledge of God that this young man receives and experiences and knows that will keep him from the path of the evil man and the desire of the strange woman upon his life. So the fact or the encouragement or the challenge, if you will, to his son to have the knowledge of God is pertinent to you and I this evening. The word knowledge simply means to have discernment and insight of, but carries a notion of a knowledge that comes by an encounter, an experience, and by relationship. Really, that's what Solomon is telling his son. I need you to have such a knowledge of God that you have a personal relationship with God, your Creator, God, your Savior, and Jesus, your Lord. And in this hour, there seems to be such a lacking of knowledge of God, of people that really, truly know what it is to have a relationship with the God of heaven. There's a lot of people that have religion. There's a lot of people that have a pedigree. There are a lot of people that lay claim to some kind of heritage or even merit in the realms of religion or even in society. But really, we understand tonight that this thing of finding the knowledge of God, encountering the knowledge of God, experiencing the knowledge of God boils down to having a personal relationship with God. And this is so important in this hour. So we looked at several things. And by way of introduction, the longing for the knowledge of God, that God desires for us to possess it. Wicked men are not interested in possessing the knowledge of God. Job 21:14. Some are seeking a knowledge of things that are just empty and vain and pointless. And they're not being interested in the knowledge of God. They live an empty life and are led to vanity. And we looked at the fact that in this longing for the knowledge of God, that it does not come by the force of religion or from standards. You cannot make somebody know God. It is an encounter and it is an experience, and it is the God of heaven revealing himself to you and you embracing that as he reveals himself through his word to your life. And this is the divine impressions of God himself upon our hearts. And you'll read about that in Jeremiah 31 and in verse number 34. And so this longing involves a call to you and I, that you and I would search and seek and find and receive the knowledge of God. We talk about the lacking of the knowledge of God and how God deals with that through the prophets, Hosea. He talked about his children were captive and held in captivity and were being destroyed. And he said they're being destroyed because of a lack of knowledge. And the lacking of knowledge is killing us in this hour and this day. It's killing churches, it's killing a nation, it's killing society. Men have no interest in knowing God. And so this lacking of the knowledge of God, it always brings captivity and it always brings destruction. And then we noted the leading in the knowledge of God, that the knowledge of God, it affects our behavior, our spirit, and our conversation. It is the knowledge of God that governs our life. And we'll preach a whole message on that in weeks to come. But your knowledge of God is going to determine how you live your life. It's going to determine the things you do and the things you don't do. It's going to determine the things you allow to come near to you and the things you force to be very far put away from you. And so this thing of the knowledge of God is important, because it is that leads our spiritual life. And a lot of things we could rehearse. I got to move on. We began last week breaking this down in our outline form or subject form as God has put it in our heart. And message number two is centered around the grace of knowing God. That mankind from the fall in Genesis 2, mankind's fall into sin and the curse that sin brings was the result of rebellion to God against his command to what? It was a command concerning the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And man, particularly Eve, was beguiled by the serpent, and her eyes laid set on the fruit of that tree, and she made a determination and an estimation that that fruit was going to be good to make one wise. And believing the lies of the devil and the deception of the devil, having been deceived, she turned to Adam, her husband, and gave him to eat with her. Adam was not deceived, but was in transgression. He knew what he was doing. He was not beguiled. He was not deceived. He did not believe the lies the devil had told his wife. But yet he willingly and rebelliously ate of that tree. And since that day, mankind has been in a turmoil as we are born estranged from God and born estranged from the knowledge of the one who made us. And so man is away from this knowledge of God. We're not born knowing who God is. We're not born in a relationship with God. We're born, my friend, coming from the womb speaking lies. We're born, every man and all of us is sheep going astray. We're born, every one of us, not righteous and not good and not holy. We do not understand, and we're not even seeking after God. And that's what the fall of Adam did to the human race. And so man has this problem where he is not born knowing God. Paul described the unsaved natural man and his disinterest of God as lacking the knowledge of the peace of God in Romans 3. But Christ in his prayer to the Father explains that eternal life, it comes by salvation, is at its core when and where a man begins to know God. John 17:3 said, "And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." And so salvation at its very core and foundation is where a man begins to know God. You didn't know God before you prayed. You may have knew about God, and you may have knew a lot about God, but you did not know him in a personal and a real way. And so we understand it comes by grace. It's not, we do not come to know God by force. We do not come to know God by pedigree. We do not come to know God by merit and anything that we have done. And so there may be many ways to have knowledge about God, but we determined through our study on last Sunday night, it is only grace that can give a man the knowledge of God. And so if we're going to come to know God, it'll always be by grace. Amen. We can't thump you upside the head hard enough to make you know God. And we can't guilt you enough to know God. And you cannot earn your way enough religious merit and religious activity that God is going to say, okay, you have earned the right to know me. And we understand salvation is all of grace. And knowing God is all of grace. Since I've known God, my friend, since that day I began to know God, I can say tonight all of grace is my story, all the way from earth to glory. And what I know about God this evening, it is grace that has appeared to my life. Paul said in Titus 2, "At the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men." And what does it do? It begins to teach, teaching us some things. I'll not go in the depths of that, or I'll get bogged down tonight. But the eternal life that comes by salvation is knowing God. And we found that grace is what causes us to know him. And we looked at just briefly, grace provided the means to know God, and grace provided the manifestation to know God, and grace procured the miracle to know God. Amen. And so if you know God tonight, you can't pat yourself on the back. If you have and have found the knowledge of God, what you find is it is grace that found you where you were. Amen, that's right. Amen, it is grace that met you where you was and brought to you the knowledge of God. That doesn't mean you didn't have, your will was not involved. That doesn't mean you didn't have a choice to make. But it was grace that made the first move. Amen. The hour we first believed, we owe it all to grace that imparted us the knowledge of God and salvation. Amen. How's that for a 15-minute rehearsal of everything we've covered? Here we go this evening. Consider with me Peter's second epistle. I find it interesting in my studies these days and weeks leading into this that when you study the word knowledge and the subject of the knowledge of God, I found it interesting to me that really 2 Peter is where this thing really begins to appear. If you want to do a per capita basis, you'll find that Peter has a lot to say in 3 chapters about the knowledge of God. Are you still there in 2 Peter? Follow along with me if you will. He said in verse number 2 of chapter number 1, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Verse 3, according to his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that it called us to glory and virtue. That's the knowledge of God. Look with me in verse number 8. The Bible said, for if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the what? The knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. He'll deal with it again in chapter number 2 and in verse number 20. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. And then in the text verse that we read tonight, in the closing verse, he said, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so 5 times in 3 chapters, Brother Tim, it's the knowledge of God, the knowledge of him that called you, the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He is focused in throughout the entirety of this epistle on this matter of the Christian and his knowledge of God. He's not writing to sinners. He is taking us beyond grace, as it were, in the sense that grace introduced us to the knowledge of God. Now he's writing to the beloved. He's writing to those that have partaken of the divine nature, and know something about divine power, and know something about a sure calling and election. Those that are anticipatory and anticipating an abundant entrance unto eternal life. He's writing to the saved, and he's dealing with the knowledge of God. In fact, the words knowledge, know, knowing, and know, in all the forms we would look at those, appear no less than 15 times in these 3 chapters. Amen. Now, I was homeschooled most of my life, but that is 5 times, an average of 5 times per chapter. And do you understand what I'm driving at? Peter's got a lot to say about your knowledge. Amen. He is writing to you and I as believers about our knowledge of God and our knowledge of the Lord Jesus. That he begins with this knowledge, and I'll not take the time to read it again tonight, but he begins with this knowledge of God in chapter 1 as soon as verse number 2, and that he ends with it in the closing verse of his epistle. My friend, shows that the subject of the knowledge of God is no doubt the theme of this short book. I've studied and preached from 2 Peter. I've never seen it before that I've done this study. Peter is focused on your knowledge of God. Amen. Amen. And so we understand, and he'll even begin in chapter number 1 with the thought of grace and peace being multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and the Lord Jesus, and of Jesus our Lord, according his divine power hath he given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him, and called us to glory and virtue. And you read verse number 4, what he's dealing with is where we were last week. It is grace. It is God that came to you. It is God that got the gospel to you. Now, he may have used a missionary. He may have used a preacher. He may have used a soul winner. He may have used a tract. He may have used a radio broadcast or a live stream broadcast. He may have used a hundred other things to get your attention set upon the gospel and the knowledge of God. But that is just the work of God's grace in our life. And Peter reminds him this knowledge began when you got saved. But now he'll close this letter out. And I really believe with all my heart the fact that he ends this epistle with grow in grace. That it seems the main takeaway of this book is found in this closing verse as we are challenged to grow in the knowledge of our Lord. Peter going to begin with the knowledge of God, deal with it in chapter 1, chapter 2, and he's going to close out. And he said, here's what it's all about. You need to be growing in your knowledge of God. Amen. Now, I said it last week, we'll say it again, that in salvation, the core of salvation, that is the core of when and where we began to know God. But you didn't know all there was to know about God the moment you got saved. Amen. There's a growth that's got to take place. You got to do something with the knowledge that has been imparted to you by the grace of God. And so if you have repented of your sin and turned to the Lord Jesus in faith, you have a knowledge of God. But now that you're saved, what are you doing with that knowledge you've been given? You're not to be stagnant. You're not to be casual. You're not to take it flippantly. Peter said, I want you to pick up the challenge and grow in that knowledge of our Lord. Amen. Amen. Boy, I wish I had a voice. I'd preach and scream all night long. Amen. It seems the main takeaway here is growing in the knowledge of our God. The word that is used here, Brother Maurice, grow, it means to enlarge, to increase, or to exceed. It indicates, listen now, an advancing by degrees or phases. That you're growing, you're in a place, and God comes to you and reveals more of himself to you through his word, reveals more of himself to you through your experiences of life, and you began to grow a little more than where you was, say, 6 months ago. And you're continually advancing, you're continually growing, you're expanding and increasing by degrees and phases. And you say, preacher, how long is that going to happen? It's going to happen till the day you get out of this world. I could argue tonight, I won't take the time to run this rabbit. Let me just throw it out there and you can kind of think on it and chew on it. I think even in eternity, we'll still be growing in our knowledge of God. There's no way, and we've already said this, when we talk about finding the knowledge of God, we understand that God is past finding out, that we can never know him in all his totality and all his character and in all his attributes and in all the ways that God manifests himself and moves among men and all that he is. It will take an eternity, my friend, for our mind to be able to be expanded to the place, amen, that we could have a full knowledge of God at. And though there's no end to eternity, as there's no end to eternity, there is no end to the knowledge of God. Amen. That's what's going to make heaven heaven. Amen. It's going to be one long eternal day where God, amen, lets us see more of himself and reveal more of himself, and we'll experience more of himself throughout all eternity. What a wonderful place heaven's going to be. Amen. But let me say tonight, you don't have to wait till you go to heaven to be growing in your knowledge of God. If we was to ask you tonight, what do you know about God? What would you say? Have you added anything to that knowledge since you've been saved? Say, well, he's the Savior. That's good. I'm glad you know that. But after you've been saved 20, 25 years, it's time to get out of kindergarten. Where's your knowledge of God tonight? I'm not asking you to measure that versus somebody else. As again, this is very personal. This is our personal relationship with God. And yet your relationship with God, it should be growing tonight. Amen. To grow is to be moving forward and upward. Amen. To grow, I think I need to say that again. Amen. To grow. Peter said, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is a spiritual moving forward and a spiritual moving upward. It's not, my friend, backing up. It's not spiraling downward out of control. And to be growing is that we are allowing our knowledge of God to propel us forward and upward and forward and upward and forward and upward. And there are times every now and then we ought to be able to look back over our Christian life and go, I cannot believe how far God has grown me in my knowledge of him. Amen. Amen. Ain't we having a time? This is not the only place this is dealt with. I do got to hurry now. Amen. I got a lot to get to. I'm going to preach the whole epistle of Peter, if y'all can believe it, tonight. Maybe not tonight, but amen, over a couple services maybe. But consider with me, this was Paul's desirous prayer. And this was his prayerful desire for the church. Kind of interestingly, we preached from it this morning, but he expressed a prayerful desire for the church at Colossae along this same line. If I could read you some verses tonight. In chapter number 1, we read down through verse number 8 this morning, verse 9 and 10. Said, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with what? The knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. And that you might walk worthy of the Lord and all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work. Watch it now. And increasing in the knowledge of God. Paul, Brother Larry, had a prayerful desire that church, though it possessed those qualities we preached this morning, as a model church and a church to be thankful for, Paul is telling them, you've not yet arrived. You don't have all the knowledge that you need to have. And I'm praying that is as big a blessing as you are now, and as far as you have come since you've been saved, that God would continue to allow you to be increasing in the knowledge of God. That word increasing there is the same, and comes from the same expression that Peter made in our text. Grow in the knowledge of our Lord is the same as when Paul said you need to be increasing in the knowledge of God. The idea is expanding in degrees and phases of growth in our Christian life. Amen. You don't know all there is to know about God. And so you're going to have to grow in that knowledge. Paul, as he expresses this prayerful desire to the church at Colossae in the opening of his book, he will expand upon and explain this increase of the knowledge of God in chapter number 3 and in verse number 9 and 10 there as well. That this increasing in the knowledge of God, Brother Kendall, is connected with putting off the old man and putting on the new man. Amen. Here's what he said. Let me read it to you. He said, lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is, here's a word prevalent to our study, relevant to our study tonight about growing and increase. He said, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. The idea is simply this, Brother Jerry, that in our spiritual life, if we're going to be growing and increasing, we cannot be walking in the old man. We must have put on as we have the new man. And that new man was given us again by the grace of God. And that new man can only be renewed and grow as he learns more about God. Amen. Amen. Paul is saying, don't get stagnant. Don't get, let me use this word. Everybody all right? Don't get complacent in your spiritual life. Don't reach a place where you think, well, I know more than so-and-so. I know more than others, so I'm good. No, there's got to be a growth. Amen. There's got to be a renewing. There's got to be. The word renewed in knowledge means to be renovated. It means a new beginning in which the quality of something is made better. Let me tell you something about all of us. I hate to burst all our bubble tonight, but I'll do it anyway. You can always be a little better than you are. You can always know a little more than you know. You can always live a better quality Christian life than what you're living tonight. Amen. The Pharisaical child of God thinks they've arrived. The Pharisaical child of God thinks, well, I've put on the new man and I have arrived and I am better than everybody else. But the spiritual minded child of God says, I cannot become complacent. I cannot become stagnant. I cannot be stunted in my growth. I want to know more about my Lord. We sing in the church hymnal on page number 6, and I understand a lot of ways that's a shallow song. Amen. But it may be a shallow song, but it is a deep subject. I want to know more about my Lord. Is that your desire tonight? Amen. And so we're dealing with, as we've looked at the grace of knowing God, the growth in knowing God. Now let me embark on this. We'll see how far we get. I may not get off the first point here. I want to go back to 2 Peter. And if the knowledge of God, and in particular, Brother A.L., growing in the knowledge of God is his main point to us in this letter, then we need to get in this book and find out, how do we grow in the knowledge of God? Do y'all want to know that? What does Peter give us that would be relevant to our spiritual lives tonight? Number one, and we'll back up all the way back into chapter number 1 again. And we already showed you how that he begins where we begun last week. It's all of grace. It's God. There's the impartation of a divine power and nature, and the light has come on. And God has done a wonderful work in our life in salvation and letting us know who he is. But notice, Peter does not dwell on that too many verses, because in verse 5, here, let me go ahead and give you my point, and then I'll enlarge on it. He's going to deal with the diligence in growing in the knowledge of God. If you're going to grow in the knowledge of God, he's going to make the point that there's going to have to be some diligence in you about growing in God. Nobody could force you to be saved and force you into that knowledge of God when you got saved. And may I say, there ain't no preacher good enough tonight in all the world, in all of human history, that can force a child of God to grow in the knowledge of God. Amen. Now, God will use men of God. He'll use pastors and teachers and evangelists to minister to our heart and our life and give us things that will be laid out in front of us to take. But if you don't have any diligence, listen, I could preach to eyes blue in the face and passed out, and I may do that tonight. Amen. But if you don't have any diligence in your heart and in your spiritual, that spiritual discipleship within you, diligence in your spiritual mindset, that you are going to grow, it doesn't matter who's preaching to you. Amen. Diligence. Notice what he said. He's just talked about the knowledge of God. And here's what he said. And beside this, moving on from just being saved, moving on from the moment and the hour in which you first believed, he said, beside this, giving all diligence. That, listen, if you're going to grow tonight, you've got to have diligence. What does that mean? Well, this evening, I think simply we could say in our study, we have found that it means eagerness and earnestness. It literally means to urge on. It bears in it kind of an activity, but there is an excitement that is attached to it. That Peter is saying, you're going to have to get excited about what you already know about God and get excited about what more there is to know about God. Amen. God, oh boy, I'm going to get in trouble here. Amen. What we're preaching on tonight, the knowledge of God, I am convinced that it bores most religious people. They're bored with it. If you ain't up entertaining them and appealing to their flesh, and this is my new word of the day. My daughters make fun of me. Amen. You ain't got gooses every time you come to church. Amen. Ain't got gooses running up and down your spine. Amen. Gooses is goosebumps, in case you didn't know. Some of y'all wondering what in the world he keep talking about gooses. Amen. Goosebumps. Amen. Amen. And I'm going to tell you, you've got, and church ought not to be boring. I ain't going to a boring church. I hope I'm not a boring preacher. I really strive not to be. Amen. But I just refuse. I can be bored anywhere in this world. I refuse to go to church and be bored. But listen, a lot of people's boredom, it doesn't stem from the style of a teacher or a preacher. And we have men that come through, they kind of talk to us and they minister the word of God. And if you're not careful, you'll get bored because you're all about style and not about being diligent to know more of God. A man ain't got to preach like your pastor does to be giving you something to grow you in your knowledge of the Lord. Amen. But can you be excited about learning more about God? Are you? Amen. I'm a firm believer in we talk about what we're excited about. Some of y'all never talk about God. I'm not being mean. And let me just enlarge so nobody gets personally offended. Just in a large scale of people that are connected to my little circle of life. There are some, they'll talk about ball. Nothing wrong with talking about ball. We can talk about hunting and fishing, and there ain't nothing wrong with that. I enjoy it all. And I can talk to you about the weather and politics and all those things. And people have a lot of things to say about a lot of different subjects. But when God comes up, when the Lord Jesus Christ comes up, all of a sudden they go silent and they begin to dodge the conversation. Amen. What is that? That shows me they're not really diligent. They don't have eagerness. There's not an earnestness. There's not an urging. There's not an excitement about knowing God. Amen. This word diligence has the notion to transact, if I word it this way, to begin something and to finish something. Amen. Diligence is to be in constant effort to accomplish what has been undertaken. You see, diligence is not, it's not the seed that fell there in the places the Lord gave the parable. The sower, it springs up for a little time and has excitement and has zeal, but quickly, as quick as it sprang up, it dies out. Diligence is the opposite of that. Diligence is the seed is sown, the truth and the knowledge of God is presented and it's received and it's taken into the heart, it's taken into the life, and there it begins to be nurtured and cared for and begins to be earnestly sought after, and my friend, not just for a moment, but until it accomplishes its work in our life. Diligence is to be in constant effort to accomplish what has been undertaken. Peter is saying, God started something in you by His grace when you got saved. He gave you the knowledge of Himself. He introduced Himself to you. Can we put it this way? He shook your hand. He hugged your neck. He attached Himself to your life. Now what are you doing with that? I understand what Peter would say, the church at Philippi, and it's God that began that work in us, and it's God that will complete that work in us. But may I say, don't forget that your responsibility as a child of God is to have some diligence about your spiritual life. Amen. Amen. This matter of diligence, it is to exert both body and mind without unnecessary delay, and Webster's added, and sloth. Amen. I like that because they really is not, when it comes to body and working, there's not really a lazy bone in my body. If there was, I'd have it amputated out of me. I can't stand slothfulness and laziness. Have no room for it. But there are men that we'll work till we have calluses on our hand, and we'll be diligent about building, we'll be diligent about fixing, we'll be diligent about repairing, and we'll be diligent about what our hand finds to do. But would to God we would be as diligent about our spiritual man, our saved man, and our relationship and the knowledge of God as we are earthly endeavors. Is that right? There are men and women that they are not lazy when it comes to their employment, but spiritually they are sluggards. Is that too tough? That's right on, ain't it? God help us. You got to have some diligence. Hey man, you've got to exert body and mind and heart and soul and spirit without unnecessary delay. You can't put it off. You can't say when you're young, I'll wait till I'm a little bit older and then I'll get serious about my relationship with God. You can't say when you get older, hey man, that I'm too old and I can put it on cruise control and I know more than I've ever known now in my life and I'll just cruise on into glory. No, you have to maintain diligence if you're going to grow. Amen. Giving all diligence to exert without unnecessary delay or sloth. Well, I'm sure I'm only going to preach this point out. Amen. Point number two is where I really want to get, but let me just take just a few more minutes. I'll be done. This matter of diligence, notice with me in the text there, There is diligence. Notice the addition of diligence. Really, if you're being diligent, you say, preacher, I don't know if I am or not. I don't know if I'm being diligent in my spiritual life. I don't know if I have diligence in this matter of growing so I could have the knowledge of God. Well, that's the good thing about that is Peter shows us what it is to have diligence. What is it to give all diligence? Here's what it is. Add to your faith. If you have diligence in this matter, there is an addition that is going on in your life. In your spirit, in your spirituality, in your relationship with God, there would be an addition, add to, it means to furnish besides. Amen, God through faith got you in this journey. God by faith introduced you to the knowledge of himself. And now it is, there is a measure of this relationship with God. That if we have diligence, there will be an addition. We will be furnishing besides this matter of where faith began. To add means to fully supply. Amen. Peter is dealing with your personal responsibility in this relationship. God will do his part. God will do his part to keep presenting truth and knowledge of himself to you. You have got to add some things to your faith. Amen. The good news on this point is he tells us what things we're to be adding. And this addition of diligence is connected to the list of seven Christian qualities that are added to our faith that Peter very meticulously details and talks about what we add. He said to your faith, add virtue. And I'll just run through this. It's not even my goal coming out tonight to belabor these things, but just hear them out. Add to your faith virtue, that is excellence of character. He said to you, virtue, add knowledge. Oh, this is a big one. That is intelligent comprehension of truth. You got to know, I've been teaching the young people the last two Sundays in Sunday school on the Word of God. The Word of God is the absolute authority for truth. And you need to know what it says. And you ain't going to know what it says if you don't read it. You ain't going to understand what it says if you don't study it. And if you don't approach it, you better get a hold of this. If you don't approach it as it is the authority, then you are not going to have the knowledge you need, amen, of truth of how to live the Christian life. Amen. You'll argue with every preacher that challenges you about everything in your life. Amen. Virtue, knowledge, temperance, that is self-control and self-denial. Patience is not what you and I would talk about. Maybe a child not having patience. Patience, according to Scripture, is cheerful and hopeful endurance. Being able, this is your responsibility, being diligent, amen, to add to your faith and to your virtue and your knowledge and your temperance, to add patience to it, to be cheerful and hopeful, even when things are going wrong in your life. Godliness is piety, or we would say devotion to God. Here's an addition you need to be diligent to add to your spiritual life, brotherly kindness. That is fraternal or family affection. And then he says, last of all, that diligence and this addition in diligence, if you're going to grow in the knowledge of God, you've got to be adding to your faith charity, that is benevolent love, or we would say tonight, the sacrificial love of God. You got to be adding these things in your life, and as you add these things in your life, God reveals more of himself to you, and you can receive that and grow in the knowledge of him. Amen. I'm running out of steam. Y'all are running out of steam. Let's get out of here. The abounding of diligence. In verse number 8, here's what he said. For if these things that you've got to be diligent to add, it takes work to be a Christian. It doesn't take work to get saved. We're not saved by good works. But if you're going to be a good Christian, you know what it's going to take? It's going to take some work. Amen. And you don't get to blame everybody else for you not being the Christian you ought to be. Because that list of things, it knocks out every excuse and every leg. Amen. We prop ourselves up on as why we can't be the Christian we ought to be, and we can't grow like we ought to grow. And we point our fingers at everybody else. Amen. You can grow if you want to grow. If you'll be diligent about it, there ain't nobody, get a hold of this, there ain't nobody, the devil himself included, and there's nothing, amen, the world included, that can stop you from growing if you're diligent about growing. Amen. Amen. And so he said, for if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. The abounding of diligence. If you'll be diligent, if you'll be diligent in giving yourself, urging on, being eager, being earnest, being excited, being constant, being one that is just given. I've got to grow. I want to grow. I'm desirous to grow. I'm excited to grow. The fire to grow in the knowledge of God, it burns in me. Here's what Peter said. You will never, never, never be barren or unfruitful in your life. Amen. That with diligence over time. Amen. And sometimes you got to remain diligent when you're not seeing growth. And sometimes you got to be diligent when life and the Christian life gets hard. And diligence propels us all when it looks like everything is working backwards. But I promise you, on the authority of the Word of God and on the experience of my own life, if we will just stay diligent and give ourselves and add our life and seek and be excited to know God, there'll be a time where there'll be an abundance where God will pour things out on our life. Amen. You'll come through your next trial, your next battle, your next storm saying, I know more of God today than I knew before. Our family went through some things several years back and won't get into all that, but I had some friends around me that knew the details of the situation and helped us, and that was a blessing. And after all was kind of settled down and calmed down, one of my friends, they called me and they was checking in. And God had brought us through that. And I was able to tell my friend, Brother Gerald, he was asking, how you doing? I said, we're doing good. God has been faithful. God has been true. God has been steadfast. God has been a rock for us to lean upon. God has helped us. And we've done our best to seek him through this and follow him through this. And there were days we felt like we weren't going to make it. I don't know how we done it. We just tried our best to be diligent. I was able to tell my friend, I'm pretty sure I've come through the other side of this thing. And I know more about God and his character today than I did before. And I'm telling you, sometimes it seems like hell's going to beat your brains out. But don't you lose your diligence, because there is an abounding coming in your life if you just keep seeking God. No matter what the setbacks, no matter the hurts, no matter the pains, no matter the disappointments, you just keep staying diligent, adding to your spiritual life the things that are your responsibility, and God will work in your life so that you will never know spiritual barrenness and unfruitfulness. Then there's the assurance that he deals with, the assurance of diligence. He said, now, if you'll have these things and abound and be diligent in this thing, you'll neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. He said, but if you lack these things, and that's where a lot of people are today, they lack these things. And I don't want to get into next week's part of this in chapter number 2. It kind of dovetails in this verse. He said, it's going to create some problems in your life. If you're not diligent about growing in the knowledge of God, you can, because of lack of diligence. Peter said it, I didn't say it, you can get to this blows my mind. I can't understand it, Brother Larry, other than I believe the Bible. Peter said, you can get to the place you forget that you was purged from your old sins. Just like you forget I believe he's talking about forgetting the joy and forgetting the excitement and forgetting all that. You remember the day you got saved? Y'all remember that? Man, you got saved. You
Amen. I ain't trying to be evangelistic speaking. You thought you could charge hell with a little tiny water pistol and defeat hell. It's how much zeal and excitement you had about being saved. If you don't stay diligent, you can get to the place you forget all that joy and all that excitement. You'll have to get like David and say, Lord, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. Amen. David didn't lose his salvation. He lost the joy of it. He forgot what it was like to be able to enjoy being saved. Amen. When you and I get the place we're not being diligent, it affects us spiritually. But here's what he said in verse 10. He said, if you'll be diligent, you'll be able to make your calling and election sure. There's assurance that comes with diligence. Amen. I know I'm saved tonight and I am enjoying my salvation. Because it's real, yes. But because God has been teaching me, if you'll be diligent about your spiritual life, you'll have assurance. You'll have assurance and peace. And not just assurance of salvation, but you read on later in the next verse, assurance of not just making it to heaven, but having an abundant entrance when you get there. Amen. Brother Sammy Allen would used to say, and he'd preach over there from out of Corinthians, some will be saved, yet so as by fire. How many of y'all remember hearing Brother Sammy said, some of y'all are going to be saved, but you'll be singed. Amen. He said, oh, you're going to go to heaven because you're saved. He said, but if you're not careful, and really what he's dealing with, same kind of subject we are tonight, that you don't want to, as a child of God, you don't want to just make it. You don't want to just make it, do you? Oh, I just want to crawl across the finish line. Well, I mean, you need a padded room, man. You're crazy. After all God did in saving us, I don't want to just barely make it. I don't want to just cross the finish line and go, thank God I made it. I'm here. No, I want an abundant entrance. Amen. Now you can have the assurance of that. That's the assurance Paul had when he said, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. He said, I ain't ashamed to stand in front of the Lord. I've got no regrets. I've given it my all. I've been diligent about what God did for me and what God called me to do and be. God has been growing me in the knowledge of God to the point Paul is excited to go to heaven. How many of y'all been saved? Let's say, how many of y'all been saved 25 or 30 years or longer? You've been saved long enough. How many of y'all remember the days where people come into church and if you sung a song about heaven, buddy, there was hands going up. I remember, I'm done preaching. I'm just holding y'all captive now. I remember days. How many of y'all remember Sister Biddle? You let Sister Biddle hear a song about heaven. I remember being down at Pleasant View camp meeting. I don't care if you went the summer one or the winter one, she'd be there. And they'd go singing about heaven. And this may upset some of y'all. That woman get out in the aisle and take a service over. I've seen her jump and shout and scream and praise the Lord. You know why? Because when they sung about heaven, she knew she's talking about going to a place to meet the one she knew something about. And anymore you sing, we just use what we sung tonight, or Brother Riley had us sing Heaven's Jubilee this morning, and we just sing words on a page. Could it be that we've not been growing in our knowledge of God, and so our zeal and our excitement of an abundant entrance to meet the one we already know? The more I know about God and come to know about God, the more I cannot wait to meet Him face to face. What a day that's going to be. Amen. It's going to take some diligence. Well,
We'll pick back up on this next Sunday night. I told y'all this may turn into a long series. It's looking that way. It's looking that way. We want to look at next week the dangers of not growing in the knowledge of God. Chapter 2 is strong, buddy. It is strong. We'll look at some dangers. And then we want to close getting back to the last verse of the epistle. And we want to look at the drive. Why should we be driven to grow in the knowledge of God? I'll show you a spiritual inspiration. And it's got to be what inspires you to grow or it won't last. Amen. And I ain't even going to tell you. I'm going to make you wait till next week. Wait all week long to try to figure it out. All right. Heavenly Father, I love you tonight. Thank you for the word of the Lord. Lord, we've tried to be diligent to study and, Lord, diligent to present the truth that you